This evening we're going to be talking about divine election, and I want to read just a few brief paragraphs from the book of Jeremiah as it opens. You don't need to turn to it, it's very brief, but this is what the Bible says. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah wrote those words and expressed himself as he did. And then we turn to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, and I will read verses 1 to 14 as our scripture lesson. Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal and promised the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now I just want to read verses 3 through 6. One more time, this is really the text. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this evening I would like to invite you to consider with me a teaching which is the foundation of Reformed Christianity, the teaching of divine election. And I hope I will not offend you if I sort of use my own history in connection with this idea, because as I reflect upon it, I think that I went through certain stages in thinking about election, which possibly some of you have gone through as well. But I grew up as I happen to mention this morning, and I don't do that in every message, by the way, but I did grow up in Cutlerville, Michigan. We moved there in 1936, my father and mother and myself and sister, and we had to go to another church in the morning because they were still preaching in Dutch. In the morning, they were preaching in Dutch. And so we would go to another church fairly near, and we'd go to the Cutlerville church in the evening. That didn't last very long because they began to speak English in the morning as well over there, but it was a long time ago, and that's the kind of a situation it was at that time. And so I was a young boy growing up, and within a few years, we entered into the Second World War. And people went from our church into the military. Five of our boys were killed, our men were killed in the military. But it was really a great church to grow up in. And I knew about election then, because our preacher, Zachary Sherda, spent a lot of time with the basic doctrines. And I remember thinking about it when I was 9 and 10 years of age and thinking, it's amazing that we are elect people. And as a kid, you start thinking about that and you try to figure it out a little bit and you can't figure it out. You say, I knew, for example, a very nice man by the name of Mr. Rose. He lived fairly near us, but he was a Methodist. And I knew he knew nothing about election. And I must confess that as a kid, a young boy, I couldn't help but think to myself, we're pretty lucky to be elect. That was kind of the concept which I used to think about it. So many people are not. They're nice people, but they're not elect. But we Christian Reformed people over here, we are. Now, I got over that after a while, and I realized that there were others who were elect as well, including Mr. Rose. But there are strange ideas that float around in a young teenager's mind about this, what this is all about. And so over time, I obviously studied some theology because that was required to go into the ministry. And I remember studying under Berkhauer in the Netherlands, Verkiezing God. I hope some of that really warms your hearts for some of you here tonight. That's the election of God. Big, thick volume. And I thought it was good stuff. And it was. It was very good. But the whole idea of election still was difficult for me. And now I must confess to you that I've come to a totally different view regarding election. I don't think it's heretical. I think it's simply a maturation that occurs in a person's life. But as you know, I'm what you call a superannuated person. And if you don't know what that means, I hope you find out someday, because it means you've got a lot of years on your back. And it means that when you do the math, you say to yourself, I'm going to leave here fairly soon, before a lot of you. And then I discovered, when you come to this point, you find yourself saying, and I am going to see Jesus. I know it. The grave does not frighten, because I will enter into that wonderful area
where Jesus will be there and the angels. What a glory it will be. And then I say to myself, when I was a kid, when I was in that church, I thought about it one way, and now I say to myself, election. What I believe to be true is nonsense from a human point of view. That when you die, you're going to be with Christ. That you will be involved in that. And I can say, by God's good grace, I'm more sure of that than of anything else. And I am also sure that I could never have come to that certainty except for the fact that God had come into my life with His Holy Spirit and had poured it into my soul and made it the greatest certainty that there could ever be. And so the last several years, the teaching of election has been something that I've just marveled at, because I know I could never come to that conclusion by myself. But God lays it on the hearts of His elect people, and nothing can take it away. So that is some of my story relative to election. But I still ask the question, why did He elect certain people? For there are many people who would be horrified to hear a grown man speak as I have just spoken. What caused it? And when we read the passage that we just read a few moments ago, we discover that this election certainty that we have as God's people is there because He elects His people before the foundations of the world. Before the foundations of the world. Let there be no mistake, there is nothing in all creation, there's nothing in your life or in mine or in anybody else's that can be identified and set up as, now that's the reason God elected you. From a certain point of view, there is no reason He elects anyone. He simply chooses us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, for He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless before in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He freely gave us in the Beloved. As I confess to you, when I was a very young boy, I was sort of proud of being elect, when some other people whom I knew were obviously not. But today, I must say, there can be no pride in being
one of God's elect children. None at all. Because the fact that any people are at all had nothing to do with creation. It's not just that it had nothing to do with us as individuals, as people, but it had nothing to do with anything that God had made. And so in the depths of eternity, God knew his children, who they would be. And in the depths of eternity, he did what was necessary in each one of his children so that they would truly believe in Christ and know that when they die, they're going to see him face to face in the depths of eternity. And so, election, you see, is by grace alone. By grace alone. It has nothing to do with who we are or what we've done. It is just the work of God. And when you, if you have come to the point in your life where you say to God, oh God, I'm so thankful that you chose me. I just pray that along with that you're saying, and Lord, I know that I should go to hell as well as anyone else. But you, in your grace, have come into my life and made me your child. Salvation is by grace alone. It's through God's election. Now, I've been thinking about this, particularly the last few months, in connection with a mission that I'm involved in. Now, many of you know that I'm involved in a mission to the Russian-speaking people. And it's been so exciting. War and all these things that have happened. But to see the electing grace of God in operation before your very eyes as people have come to Christ. Now, our mission today, by the way, is one which carries no identification with America or with anyone who is English speaking. It's strictly a mission that is being carried on, financed by many wonderful donors here in this country and in Canada. But it is a mission which is a mission of the Evangelical Reformed Bible Church, which is a new denomination in Ukraine. Our campus was in Donetsk, is in Donetsk, where the firing, the war, was miserable and terrible, causing us to lose two of our students, two young women who were killed in their apartments by the arsenal that struck that place. But, astonishingly, the war has been so good for us, for that mission. Sergei Karpenko, who is the president of the seminary, will be speaking again tomorrow morning. We speak all the time on Skype. And we just marvel as we see what's happened, and we have to say we had nothing to do with it at all. People sometimes ask me, how is it going there in Ukraine? And I say, it's got entirely out of hand. It's completely outside of our control. It's in God's control. And what he has done, we had about 180 students in Ukraine, in Donetsk.
But when the bombs begin to fall and the shells begin to destroy buildings around us, those who lived in Kyiv could no longer come that distance. The checkpoints were terrible. Sometimes you had to wait 8 hours on a checkpoint to go from one place to another. And the ones who came from Crimea could not come any longer. But God took it in his hand, and he gave us a campus in Crimea, which is Russia, and another one in Kyiv. And now we have, just the other day, he told me the number, we have 406 students, he said. 406. And he said to me, and it's so amazing, in fact, he sent me an email on it, he said, the amazing thing in Crimea is that we just got 12 new students. Two of them are Russians. Two of them were converted Muslims. Two of them were converts completely. And two of them were Jews. And so they sit together in our classrooms now, that group of people. And now with all of this, and this is why I was speaking about election, because we are right on the edge of something happening which frightens me. But the God who created the universe, who said, let there be light, and there was light, when he put it all together in those 7 days, 6 days of creation, he built into that creation the realities which we are just learning to use. The realities that enable us to use internet as we've never used it before. Many of you know David Fettes. We were together at the Back to God Hour for a while. He's involved in the creation of lessons for people where they can learn about the Reformed faith. And we're working with him, and we're receiving counsel with his organization, and we're starting to put the lessons together, and we have three areas where we have the electronic equipment. You've been seeing Putin lately? I want to tell you something good about Vladimir Putin. His government in Moscow just gave us the permission to bring our mission throughout all the Russian-speaking world. Incredible. 6 months ago, we would never have expected it. Never have expected it. But it's happened. And when I think about it, we will be reaching Muslims who speak Russian in Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, all these Stan countries. We'll be reaching them with the gospel over the airwaves, the internet. We'll be reaching people from Poland to the Bering Sea, people from the Arctic to the Mediterranean Sea who speak the Russian language. And we use just Russians. There's no Americans in there. It's just the Russians. They will be speaking the language these people can understand. And then I ask myself the question, but what do you expect is going to happen when all these people start hearing these things? What do you think? You know what I think. We're here because we are God's elect people. And there is no reason to think that there are no elect people over those 12 time zones. Election. This here, which is described, which we have benefited from. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Why am I a Christian? Why am I a Christian? You say, well, you know, your dad and mom were Christians, and you have some Dutch blood in you, and all of that. That's the way we would talk about it. But that has nothing to do with the faith an individual has in his heart. The faith that makes him excited about dying and seeing Jesus. That faith is rooted in God's electing power. And when we have an opportunity to bring the word of the cross to that large area, my brothers and sisters, I just say, God, what are you going to do with that? It has nothing to do with us, nothing with the kind of people we are, nothing at all. The only thing it has anything to do with is that the message at the center of the Christian faith is the message of God sending his only begotten Son into this world in order that we could be saved. And then we read this. This is what Paul is saying here. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And so, I just pray to God. I don't understand how this happened. Not because we were so smart. No, by no means. But I believe that once Jesus Christ is lifted up throughout that vast area, there will be change in many hearts and many souls. And so I share it with you tonight. Oh, we live in a place right now where we wonder about the church, where is it all going to go? What, we've got empty benches and all that. So yes, of course. Well, yes, that happens. But God keeps working in the world. 1% of Africa was Christian at the turn of the last century. Today, 50% of Africa is Christian because the Holy Spirit is moving and moving with power. And when the word comes to people, there will be change. And there will be people who come to Jesus Christ. And so I share this with you tonight. It's a rather unique situation. And it's so wonderful and exciting to see what's happening. The Muslims are creating an awful name for themselves in that part of the world, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan. And when that gospel comes, and people can hear it in the privacy of their own homes, that will be a marvelous thing, and the Holy Spirit is there. And the elect will hear, and they will believe. And we're seeing it happen over there with the Jews themselves, the Jews coming to Jesus. President of our seminary has baptized over 1,000 Jews in the last several years. It's so marvelous. In Crimea, there are four churches there. Two of them are Messianic Jews. The Jews are coming to Jesus. And I was saying to the rabbi of the big Jewish church in Ukraine, in Kiev, I said, "Rabbi, when I see this happening, I think that Jesus Christ is going to come back very soon." This is from Romans, the 11th chapter. This is about the Jews. Paul is writing it. "As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account." He's speaking to regular Christians now. "But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable." He's writing about the Jews. Paul is. "So they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all." And the Jews are coming to Jesus in Ukraine and in Crimea. 40% of our students in our seminary are Jews. 40% of them. Because, as I said to the rabbi, I think I hear the trumpet sound. Jesus is coming back. And he said, "Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely." And I believe it. And while I'm very glad that it won't be long and I'll see Christ, I also feel a little bad that I won't be able to see all these things work their way out. But let me say this to you who are here, and praise God for the younger people who are here too tonight. What are you going to do with your life? How are you going to live the next 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years if Jesus doesn't come for that period of time? If there are any of you who feel the slightest stirring that you want to be a part of God's great worldwide mission, let me encourage you. Because if I may use this vulgar statement, there is no other game in town but the one that God is doing in these latter days as he brings his gospel to his people. And they come to him. Why? Because they're so smart, so pious? No. God chose them before the foundations of the world. And we're privileged now to lift up the word of the cross. Oh, my brothers and sisters, please pray for this mission. Just pray for it. They don't want us around there, to tell you the truth. If I went back there right now, I'd contaminate the whole business. Because I'm an American, it's going to be up to them to do it, and to do it as they would do it, with a Russian language that is pure, strong, powerful. It's going to be up to them to do it. And they're doing it. And it's happening. And we can pray and pray and pray and be filled with joy as we think about the fact we are an elect people gathered here tonight. And if God could elect a sinner like you and a sinner like me,
you can be sure there are thousands and thousands out there who'll be hearing the word of God, and the elect will come to Jesus. Divine election. He did it all before the foundations of the world. He knew them before the foundations of the world too. He did it all before the foundations of the world. And then he created it. And he created all those wonderful tools that we can use nowadays to tell people about Christ. And this electing God is going to do a great and marvelous work to the glory of his name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord our God, we're here to confess tonight that there's not a single human explanation for the fact that we're Christians. We like to think there is, but there isn't. I mean, every single one of us here has a potential for rebellion against you. But you've come to us. You've used various means. Yes, often you've used our parents. You've used our churches. You've used so many things. But you've taken sinners like us. And through your Spirit, you've made us believe that you're the creator of all. You've made us believe that there's no other way of salvation but the salvation which Jesus Christ has made possible. You have done it. We're not Christians because of ourselves in any way, shape, or form. And Lord, as we see these new means being used, and as we think of our Russian-speaking friends, we know that people from this church are involved in mission over there too. We think of our Russian-speaking friends, and as they bring people the word of the cross, that's connected with what you've done in the depths of eternity. And the harvest could be so great. We plead for it, and we leave it in your hands, O gracious God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.